The title of our sermon is Looking for Redemption. And let's have a prayer together, and then we will get into the sermon for this morning. Kind Father in heaven, we are grateful for this day. We're thankful for all your many blessings. We're thankful once again for a warm place to gather. We're thankful for the Christmas season and all that it means for us as Christians, for the Christian world, for the entire world, Lord, but in a special way we celebrate this time of year. And so we just pray that as we are studying this morning, as we're going through our Bible study, that your Spirit would please lead us, that you would draw us closer to you, closer to each other. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Throughout this, Christmas has largely become commercialized in our world today. You go through the stores and we hear all the Christmas carols. It's the most wonderful time of year and all of those things. And so for outside of the Christian church, it's largely become this commercialized holiday in which people are focused on the gifts, and that's all well and good, being benevolent, sharing, being a blessing to other people. Those are good things. For a lot of us, it holds special meaning for time with family, time with friends, time to reflect on the blessings of the year. We just went through Thanksgiving, and that's kind of what that this season is all about, is reflecting on maybe being nostalgic about Christmases gone by, Christmases with family members that are no longer with us. It holds a lot of special memories for a lot of people. It's a special time of year, but while we're thankful for all of those things, the Christian world especially is celebrating the birth of Jesus, the birth of the Savior. And we know today that it's not, he likely wasn't born on December 25th. There was a time in my Christian experience when I was very, legalistic or just very cut and dry, like all of these, many of our traditions and how there was ancient pagan customs tied to it. And so I really kind of turned the Christmas season on its head, and I wasn't focused on the real reason. You know, the real reason or the focus of Christmas is about the fact that God sent a Savior to the world. And so while I thought I was doing good by sharing what I thought was truth with people, I was actually kind of pouring water on a time of year. This is one of two times a year the average person thinks about Jesus in any way, shape, or form. Easter and Christmas. For some people, that's the only time they go to church, is around Christmas season and around the Easter season. And so rather than building up and sharing the truth about Jesus and how he would be a Savior to all people, I had to repent of that behavior and praise the Lord that Now I like to utilize this time of year to share about Jesus while there are people perhaps thinking about it who aren't any other time of the year. The Christmas story revolves around the redemption of mankind. Jesus came as the Redeemer of the human race. He became God with us. And the story is recorded, the most in-depth or detailed story of Jesus' birth is recorded in the book of Luke, where this child was born to a virgin woman, which we know is humanly impossible, some 2,000 years ago. And we find this account in Luke chapter 2, where Dennis was just reading from. And I forgot to prompt our sound person. We're going to read a couple passages, and so if maybe we could have some people ready to read. We're going to read through and highlight some things in Luke chapter 2. I'll begin reading, but I'll begin in verse 7, and then if there's maybe somebody who's willing to read 8 through 12, or 8 to 14, rather. So if we could have a microphone ready for that. But I'll begin in Luke chapter 2. Do you need it right here? There you are. I'll read for a little bit. "And And the Bible says, Luke chapter 2, begin reading in verse 4, Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And this is probably the story that many of us are familiar with. I hope you read it with your family this time of year. But if somebody, so this is the beginning, this is the story. If somebody could read for us 8 through 14, just raise your hand. Oh, Stephanie has her hand up here. Thank you, Mr. Dean. Verses 8 through 14.
And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
Amen. Thank you so much for reading that. So this is the Christmas story, and the angels, there are angels coming to herald or to proclaim the birth of this Savior, and the Bible says that they bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to how many people? All people. Amen. So he was the Savior who was to be born and who was to be a Savior or a Redeemer for all people, all of mankind, the Bible says, to whosoever will come, Jesus will not turn away. And to make this extra special, God has been giving prophecies all along the way for well over 1,000 years at this point, telling people where he would be born, when he would be born. He would be born of this, it would be a miraculous birth. He would be born of this virgin woman. And so all of these things are culminating and coming together. All of these signs that God has given for thousands of years to the Hebrew people are all culminating together. And God, every few hundred years, he would be telling some new insight through some other prophet that would describe this baby, this Savior, in some way, shape, or form. And, as a 1, 2, 3 generation passes from that time, people forget. And so there's more reminders that come. There's more promises that come throughout the centuries as they were building up to this moment in time. And so as Jesus is fulfilling, coming together, all of these prophecies are coming together and pointing to this one individual, God also sends angels to proclaim this amazing, miraculous birth. This is the one. And so God, in all the ways that he can, he is trying to share, to show, to put on display that this is the one that you've been waiting for. This is the Savior of the world. His miraculous birth. No other human being can say that they were born of a virgin except for Jesus himself. The angels coming to shout the proclamation praising the Almighty God. Glory to God in the highest. Peace and goodwill toward men. This is God's attitude. This is God's gift being given to the human race through Jesus. This is his attitude toward people. He is sending peace and goodwill toward men. And the Bible tells us in verse 17 that the shepherds, when they had seen him, they went to go see Jesus. After they heard the sign, they would go see him laying in a manger. And then the Bible says in verse 17, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told concerning this child. So angels always do what God asks them to do. Angels always, you know, God bids them to go on an errand and they go and they share the good news of the Messiah. But now we have people involved who are also sharing the good news that they have seen the Messiah. They go and publish widely, make widely known that they have seen the promised Redeemer, the one who was foretold for centuries. He's here. He has come. The culmination of all of these things, the miraculous birth, the angels of God descending to bear witness to all around that this child is in fact the promised son who would be a savior to all people. This is good news for the human race, because while we were dead in trespasses and sins, the Bible tells us that we have been made alive in Christ Jesus. So while we were dead and we had no hope of salvation in and of ourselves, we had no hope of salvation, no way to make an atonement for ourselves, the Bible says that God himself sent someone to redeem, someone to save. And the angels are proclaiming to the world good news for the human race. And the miracles don't stop there. The miracles continue as we read the story of Jesus. So let's keep reading a few more verses in Luke chapter 2. I'll begin reading just these next few verses here. Luke chapter 2, and I'll begin reading in verse 25, and I'll read subsequent verses for a while. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Now I can depart in peace, he says, because I have seen the salvation of the Almighty God. The consolation of Israel. Does anybody know what that phrase, what that means, what the Bible means when it's telling us that? Somebody said something. What does it mean to be consoling of someone else? To comfort them. Jesus is the consolation, the comfort of all mankind. Because he brings peace and goodwill to mankind. Jesus is the one that he was waiting for. And the Spirit of God had endowed this man with wisdom or understanding or a vision that he would know that he would see the Lord's Christ in his lifetime. And he says, now I can die in peace. Because I have seen God's salvation. That everything that God has said about this child is true. He didn't even see the resurrection. He didn't see the life and the death and the resurrection that we all have the privilege of hindsight of looking back on today. He just saw the child, the infant who was born and was promised. And so I guess he figured if the Lord was telling the truth about thus far, he's going to see it through to its fulfillment, to its full fruition, to its final atonement, which would happen through Jesus Christ. So not only are the angels of God heralding the Savior, the Spirit of God is moving in the hearts of those who are sensitive to the Spirit of God, and they're coming in to see this child. Simeon is one. And the story continues with another person who is moved by the Spirit of God to come and see the child. So you have the angels of God proclaiming, you have the Spirit of God, all of these things happening so that people would understand that this is the one. This is the one you've been looking for. This is the one we've been waiting for thousands of years for. And the Bible says that he would be the glory of your people Israel because he came through the Jewish line of people, and that he would be a light to the Gentiles, that he would be a savior to all people. He's the comfort of Israel, the consolation of Israel. You see, they had been looking for so many years. And Simeon, this just and devout man, was eagerly looking for this. They saw him as a redeemer or someone who would break the Roman yoke off of them, and that he would usher in this messianic kingdom. But Jesus' mission was much larger than just that. He came to break the yoke of sin and death for the whole human race. His mission wasn't narrow in just trying to redeem a certain sect of people from the bondage that they found themselves in. He came to break the bondage of sin for the entire human race. Amen. He's a light to the Gentiles, and he's the glory of Israel. He's a savior to all people, to whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord. Whoever believes would not perish, but will have everlasting life. The next section of the story, just a couple of verses we'll read together, beginning in verse 36. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and she had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Israel. And so, coincidentally, all of these people come into the same place at the same time that God the Son was in the temple. Just so happened that they all came together at the same time. This tells me that God is still sovereign. That God is still able to move in the hearts and minds of people. It is us, we are dependent on him for this, right? He's not dependent on us. God makes all of these things happen according to his perfect will. And praise God, there are some people who are still willing to surrender to what the Spirit of God is doing in their lives. He was able to orchestrate this whole thing. While people were waiting for hundreds of years for it to come to fruition, here these people come, the Spirit of God, the angels are testifying, the shepherds are testifying as to what they've seen. The Spirit of God is testifying in the hearts of individuals who have the Spirit of God within them. This is the one. We don't serve a needy God who needs us for anything. He is able to move and orchestrate things as he sees fit. I want to focus in on verse 38. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him, spoke of the child, spoke of the baby, spoke of the infant, to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. You see, there are a lot of people living in Jerusalem, just like there's a lot of people living on this planet today, but not all of them are looking for redemption. There were a lot of people, especially we see it in the life of Jesus, that thought in that time that just their relationship, their lineage alone, they were a shoo-in. They were automatically in. Or if they were a wealthy person, they thought that automatically that was a blessing from God and that they were automatically in God's favor and in God's kingdom. Or if they were related, they were somehow a Jewish person of the lineage of Abraham, they thought that they were automatically in. Or they had the law of God, so they thought that that was an automatic blessing from God and that they were the children of Abraham. So they weren't looking for redemption. They thought that they already had it. But she, the Bible says that her mission or what she did or what she took to Jerusalem, she was bringing hope, comfort, peace to all those who saw themselves for what they are and the religious system wasn't doing anything for them. The rites, the rituals, the sacrifices, it's like this just, I still am not feeling the peace and the fulfillment that I think I should feel. So people who still saw themselves as sinners in need of a Savior, she took the good news of to all those who were looking for redemption, she brought the good news to them. Amen. And the same is true for us today. If we are self-sufficient and we think that we are perfect in our works or that our works are contributing or that and we don't see ourselves in sinners as sinners in need of a Savior, we're not looking for redemption, but we're content with what we're contributing. It's the same issue for human beings today. I had a conversation with one of my family members many years ago, probably 15 plus years ago, and he said, you know, he lived a horrible life. And I said, you know, but God offers forgiveness to all those who are looking for it, all those who are willing to confess or surrender. And he said, I think I'm okay. He wasn't looking for redemption. He thought he was okay. I think I'm okay. He wasn't looking for or sensing or seeing his great need, he didn't understand the human plight, the problem that we all have as sinners in need of a Savior. She spoke of him to all those who were looking for the promised Messiah, to those who were looking for a Savior outside of themselves. She spoke of him to those who were waiting. She spoke to people who felt the weight of sin and no way of atonement for themselves, and the blood of animals just wasn't doing it for them anymore, or ever did. We praise God when we read in Hebrews that Jesus, one offering for all, he doesn't have to continuously offer himself for the human race. The Bible says that through one offering, he was able to put away the sin of the entire human race. He is the mediator of a better covenant. Our redemption came through him. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 53, 4 to 6, surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement for our peace was upon him. This is the promised child that God had been giving us clues through the prophets for hundreds, if not thousands of years, depending on what prophet you want to talk about and when they spoke. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. There was a transaction that took place, redemption for another. By definition, redemption is the act of buying back something that was lost. This word redemption follows Jesus whenever somebody is speaking of him. This word follows him everywhere he goes, all the way back to his birth story from 8 days in. All those looking for redemption. Redemption is the act of buying back something that was lost or regaining something of value. And it can refer to a variety of concepts. We can think about it from a moral standpoint. We can think about it from a financial standpoint. And all of them, I'll mention just a few of them, all of them reflect Jesus in some way in his mission on this planet. The act of atoning, the general moral act of atoning for guilt, a fault, or a mistake, a state of being rescued from a bad situation, that's what he came to do. We think of our Christian deliverance from sin and salvation through a costly act of love. That's what Jesus came to do. We can think of financially the act of buying back something that was sold, like a pawned item, the conversion of a security or the repayment of a debt. That's what Jesus came to do. All of these things reflect the mission of the Messiah in some way, shape, or form through this his act of redemption. He is the Redeemer who takes away the sin of the world. To all those looking for redemption, the Bible tells us in Romans 3, 23 and 24, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. To all those who look to him in faith as their Redeemer, they have redemption. He is our righteousness. The righteousness of God apart from the works of the law being revealed through faith in Jesus Christ and the promised Redeemer, the one who was to come. To all and on all who believe, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for all have sinned. Again, from Romans chapter 3. Because of his birth and life and act on the cross, all who are looking for redemption have been justified, have peace with God, Romans 5. Christ is our peace. That's why the angels came proclaiming peace on earth, goodwill toward men. He is our peace. That's why Simeon could now die in peace, because he had seen the salvation of the Almighty God. He said, now I can go to rest in peace because the Redeemer has come. And my eyes have beheld God's salvation. You who are heavy laden with guilt or the weight of sin, come to Jesus. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. He came to set the captives free, the Bible says. Amen. To all who are looking for redemption, may come to them, come to him with their burdens and their sins. All who are looking for redemption can have peace and assurance with God because they have been justified because of him, because of what he has accomplished for the human race. Because of his righteousness, we have peace. The peace in my life isn't because of anything good that I do or contribute. It's because of what he has done. The peace that we are supposed to have in this life, because of his sacrifice, we have peace. Because of his resurrection, we have peace. Simeon didn't have any of that. He's just like, if God has brought this to fruition, he's going to clearly see it out till its completion. He just saw the child, the infant. We have the privilege of hindsight. We can see all of these things fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Here's this word redemption again. It follows him everywhere. Ephesians chapter 1. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. He's the Redeemer. In him we have an inheritance. In him we trust. In him we're sealed by the Spirit. In him we have peace. Because of all these things that Jesus has given, has brought, and freely offers to each one of us. Because of all these things, the Christian world celebrates the birth of the Messiah this time of year. And we talk about Jesus as the one, the Savior, to the people we know that are weighed down with guilt of sin and they're looking for redemption. This is where you point them to. You point them to this child who had a miraculous birth, who the angels heralded his coming. to the one that the shepherds went out and spread abroad widely what they had seen. And just like Anna, just like Simeon, we can have peace because of what Jesus has done. And just like Anna, we can go out and share the good news to all those who are looking for redemption. The good news. Redemption has come, and it's found in Him. Are you looking for redemption today? I pray that you found it. I pray that you have peace in your life. I pray that you have assurance in your life. I pray that you have joy in your life. Have you felt hopeless in your own strength? 2,000 years ago, God sent the remedy for the human plight. And that's what we celebrate this time of year. Jesus offers pardon and forgiveness. Jesus is the reason the Christian world celebrates this time of year. So as people are driving around in their commercialized mind looking for something beyond what they're experiencing in life, hopefully, even though the time of year and all of those things, hopefully they see a nativity scene somewhere. In the Spirit of God, Jesus says, if I'm lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. Hopefully, if they see those things, they will begin looking for redemption outside of themselves, outside of the rigmarole of their lives. Hopefully, as they go through the stores looking for gifts and they hear a hymn, the First Noel, or Come, O Come, Emmanuel, they will begin to look for redemption. To all who will, it's available. To as many as who will come, He will in no wise cast aside. To whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. To all who are looking for it, who are trusting in Him, I pray that each one of us, we find the joy and the peace and the assurance that is available in Him in this Christmas season. If you're looking for redemption today, you can find it in Him. Let's pray together. Kind Father in heaven, we're so grateful for this unspeakable gift. We're so grateful for the promise, not only the promise, but the fulfillment of all the prophecies surrounding this miraculous birth. Lord, we're so thankful for the insights that we have in Scripture, that this one who would come would bear the guilt of the entire world. As Isaiah said, you laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And because He came as a human being, He's not ashamed to call us brethren. And we can freely come and we can freely invite those who are feeling the weight of sin and who are looking for redemption. Please, dear God, help us to be a beacon of light to the world around us in this Christmas season, that we could point other people to Jesus as being the reason for the season. We love you, Lord. We thank you, and we just are praying all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I long.
Psalms of seeking, Lord, I sing alone to you. In the steps along life's journey, in the sojourn of my soul, in the voyage now before me, I relinquish my control.
Jesus saves, it is done.
each hour of each day of your life be a picture of love to all the world. And in Jesus may you grow, may you trust Him, may you know of His love, that His love may have seen the light and will worship Him. We'll praise the newborn King of Kings.
We'll worship Him.
We will praise Him with the gifts we bring.
We'll worship Him.
We'll worship Him. We'll worship Him this night. This night. We will worship, worship Him. We will worship, worship Him.
Savior.